This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
Got another great episode this week. Lots to talk about in the world of Major League Baseball. By the way, if you're listening to this and you don't know what Major League Baseball is, I suggest going to MLB.com. That's a website that can help you learn a little bit about baseball, prepare you for our discussion today. Just want to get that out of the way.
Do you think that MLB.com, like if you had no idea what Major League Baseball was, do you think going to MLB.com would be the best place to start?
That's
I feel like the Wikipedia page of Major League Baseball would probably.
I guess you would need to start on like the Wikipedia page of baseball.
Of baseball.
So that you could know what baseball is. And then you could go, oh, this is a professional league for baseball.
Yeah. So you'd right click and open a new tab for Major League Baseball when it mentions it and say, like, I'll finish this article, then I'll move on to this one.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. So go do that if you're unfamiliar.
If you're a Duck fan or a Snort fan. And
if you found this by mistake, you're going to be sorely disappointed. But before we get into the show, we just want to thank Boardwalk Audio, who distributes this show. You can support Boardwalk and Duck Snort by visiting DuckSnortPodcast.com. Click the Support Our Artists link. That'll take you to Amazon. Shop like you normally would. And Boardwalk and Duck Snort get a small percentage. Also, a big shout out to OffTheBenchBaseball.com, our distribution partners, and a fabulous site. Actually, maybe people who want to learn what baseball is could start at Off the Bench.
Yeah, that would be a good start, actually.
Yeah, I bet. We should tell those guys to just write up a quick primer, you know, rules of baseball, history of the
what
game.
What bases are.
They actually did a fun post on Off the Bench this week about what a roster made up of entirely number one draft picks would look like because the MLB draft, well, I guess by the time people are hearing this, the MLB draft would have been yesterday, but the MLB draft is happening, and so they did a feature on that, which is, it's a spoiler alert, a pretty good team of number one draft
of number
picks.
Ones.
Yeah,
they should have done like they should do. Hey, off the bench, it'd be really interesting to do like all number 10 picks or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just random number, sort of.
I mean, it'd be really interesting if you did, like, if they wanted to go super crazy and do, like, all the numbers of the first round.
Yeah. Maybe they are.
Maybe, yeah.
Who
that's
knows?
True. Who knows? They haven't mentioned it on the, what's the app that we use?
Work? The GroupMe.
GroupMe, yeah.
The GroupMe. So many text apps these days,
apps.
Huh?
A lot of workplace
I got
apps.
I got a WhatsApp. I got a Slack. I got a GroupMe. I got iMessage, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have iMessage.
That's not even talking about Twitter DM, Instagram DM.
No, so many
a lot
things.
Of ways to communicate. If you don't know what communication is, if you don't know what apps are, visit the Wikipedia.
Don't get confused because appetite is not.
Let's
feel,
be very clear.
Did I mention last week? I have this series of making me feel old and how I. Did I help Mark Reynolds?
I think you did mention it. Yeah.
Yeah. So this week I realized that Miguel Cabrera is only 8 months older than me. So
you're feeling aged. But here's the thing: you're not a professional athlete, so you're kind of just entering the prime of your adulthood. While you're not leaving. I mean, I guess we do play baseball every week, so in that sense, you're probably past your prime of. Your contributions to the Los Angeles Baseball Federation.
Yeah.
But you're just entering your prime for your contributions to society.
That's true. Thanks, Greg.
You're
that,
very
Miguel
welcome.
Cabrera.
Yes, suck it, Miggy. So this week, let's just do a little rundown of the show. Last week we did kind of like a two-month check-in of where things were in baseball, and we sort of ran out of time to focus on the NL West, which has been either a very interesting division or kind of a shit show of a division, depending on your perspective, I guess. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Also, All-Star voting recently opened, so we're going to try to guess who the All-Star starters will be based on what who the fans will pick. And then after the break, we're going to be continuing our 30-part series on our favorite and least favorite players of every franchise in baseball, part four, with the New York Yankees. Perhaps...
If you don't know who the New York Yankees are.
perhaps the most well-known... baseball franchise, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe the it depends who you ask. Maybe there's some casual fans out there who just have only heard of the Pirates or the
that
Rays.
Would be insane.
No, of course
they
have
to be the most.
Of course
they're there. Are they the most well-known franchise in sport in American sports?
I would say probably Dallas Cowboys, and maybe L.A. Lakers, and then
Yankees. Like in Mongolia, you think they know
in
about
the
Cowboys?
I think
I meant world, like worldwide.
In the world?
If you just like did a survey of the whole world and you were like, just name one.
Probably basketball, then I would
say. You think it'd be the Lakers?
That's the one, that's the export. It'd probably be the Lakers or the Bulls.
Yeah. I bet like 30 years ago it was the Yankees.
That's probably correct, yeah.
All right. Well, that's what they used to, in the World War II, one of the tests to see if people were spies is they would talk about Babe Ruth. In a way that was untrue. They'd be like, oh, Babe Ruth, like, you know, he got a lot of stolen bases. Or they'd say, like,
really?
Oh, like, Babe Ruth really, you know, was really killing it for the New York Giants or something. And if they didn't know, then that was the... Because they just, like, everyone would know
yeah.
who Babe
so
Ruth
so many
was.
Of our friends would fail that spy
well,
test.
Well, now, yeah. But I feel like now it would be like if you just said, like, oh, LeBron... Like, you know...
Yeah, my favorite hockey player,
yeah,
LeBron
something
James
like that,
or something
yeah.
like that.
But that was a test in the war. That was Babe Ruth was used as like a litmus test if you're an American.
I bet you couldn't even do that anymore, though, because like sports are so global now, you know?
Oh, that's true.
It's like somebody from...
What would you do?
China would know, or wherever would know LeBron James.
What's so American? Like, the Whopper sure is bigger. The Whopper's sure on sale at McDonald's or something like that.
It'd be like, man, everybody loves that curvy wife guy, huh? Who, on Instagram.
It would, yeah, it would be that.
It'd be some dumbass meme.
Shit.
All right, anyway.
Real quick, we mentioned the draft. Can I just bring something up about the draft?
Yeah.
Do you pay attention to that kind of stuff?
Only because the White Sox are so bad and there's
pick.
Not a ton yeah. else that's worth paying attention to.
I feel like we got to get the draft more hype, not just us. We got to be single-handedly get this draft more hyped. I think that it was obviously not so hyped because players take so long to enter or used to take so long. But I feel like now the length of time you're in the minors is shortening for high draft picks, especially position players. So the draft might become more relevant to the casual fan or even the decent
fan. I definitely think it's more relevant than it used to be. It didn't even used to be on TV or anything
right.
like that. And now MLB Network airs it, and there's a ton of draft coverage online for diehards and stuff. But I don't think it will ever be the NBA draft or the NFL draft because there's no college baseball is not the same as college basketball or college football.
Impact.
There's no immediate impact. There's a lot of high school guys who get taken who, even if you did do a lot of research, it's like, how am I going to watch these, you know, guys playing high school ball in Texas or whatever?
Yeah.
And it's not the only way that guys get to the majors. Like, you know,
the international players.
Yeah, it's not in the NBA, it's an international draft, you know.
Those are all good points. But I do feel like it might be a little more fun because it used to be like, if you made it in 3 years to the majors, that was insane.
Yeah.
And now I feel like you can make it in a season or two or a season and a half because if you play a half season and then play like it all, you can make, you know. The highest picks now could possibly be playing in 2020. Opening.
It just depends on the organization, I think, and like where they're at in their competitive cycle and that kind of thing.
And how much money they want to spend. Or
how cheap
they
are. For example, the White
Sox
are extremely cheap. And the,
so the
Blue Jays are extremely cheap, so they're not calling up their guys.
It's driving me crazy.
But the Braves, calling up everybody. The Yankees, calling up everybody.
Nationals.
Juan Soto's 19 years old.
Yeah.
That'll make you feel old. If you're going to complain about being old, like, that's the one.
But he was born in 99, I think. So I think we still are avoiding players born in the
2000s.
2000s.
But you would have been in high school when he was born, right?
Pending, yeah, no, definitely. I started high school. I started high school in fall of 98. So, yeah. So that sucks.
I would have been going to a lot of bar mitzvahs around the time that he was born.
Like, there are Jewish people where I'm from. There weren't really. I didn't meet my first Jewish person until I went to college.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm from a super small town in a very farm country corner.
Yeah. Was the Jewish person you met, did it seem very exotic?
It did.
Really?
I feel like looking back, like, I probably embarrassed myself. Like, because I probably was like, whoa, a Jew. Like, you know, like.
Yeah.
Like, I knew they existed. I wasn't like, we had TV, so I knew about Jewish people.
You knew that Jews made TV?
I knew Jews.
You
I
knew Jews ran Hollywood?
I'm not going to do this routine. It was just like, because everyone, you just assumed when I was growing up that everyone was a Christian even.
Yeah.
So just to meet someone that didn't think Jesus like died
religion.
For your sins, yeah. Was like, what?
Yeah.
No bar mitzvahs. Just a lot of school dances.
Yeah. And Juan Soto being born in that time frame.
I remember hearing about that. Okay, so we were going to we can move on.
We're just talking exclusively about Major League Baseball and the NL West today.
NL West, yeah, as we bring up. So the National League Western Division.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, it's hard to know where to even start when talking about it. Like, sort of the last time we talked about it extensively, I think, was in the immediate aftermath of Corey Seager's injury. And we were just, you know, the Dodgers were playing so terribly. We were kind of like, well, the Dodgers are fucked. The Diamondbacks are having just an incredible year. Obviously, they're going to run away with the division. And the Diamondbacks proceeded to have an extremely terrible month.
Just an all-time shitter.
Yeah. Yeah, the Diamondbacks were very bad in May. I believe, like, that I was going to say inexplicably, but it is explicable. Like, basically what happened was, like, a bunch of guys got hurt and their best players started playing worse. The logic of it checks out, but unlikely to happen. Like,
I mean,
you know,
they shouldn't have been that bad.
Well, you know, nobody could have, like, you'd never guess Paul Goldschmidt is going to have a terrible month,
right?
You know,
but they were basically like the team version of Hanley Ramirez in May.
Oh, like
how
started
bad they were.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, or Didi Gregorius. Their April was Didi Gregorius, and then their May, they mirrored each other.
Yeah. So where things stand now are the Diamondbacks, as we're recording this, the Diamondbacks are in first place by a half game over the Rockies, who have not been particularly good, but who have occupied first place a lot over the last couple weeks.
I don't know how, but yeah.
Yeah, just because it's so mediocre across the board.
Yeah.
The Giants are 2.5 games behind, 2 games below 500, as are the Dodgers. And the Padres are only 5.5 games behind. And they're only like 2 games behind the Dodgers and the Giants in the win column.
But the Dodgers, so to put this in perspective, I think the Dodgers have been playing relatively well over the last probably 2 or 3 weeks. I think they've made up some ground because I think they were like 6 or 7 or 8 back at one point. They were way back there.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the most, I mean, I can look this up as we're talking about it, but I think, you know, they were probably like 5 or 6 games below 500, and now they're 2 games below 500.
So maybe they've
played played marginally better, but the big thing for sure is that everybody else has played worse. You know, I'm going to, you fill some time here because I'm going to find some records real quick.
The other thing I was going to say is that, you know, the Padres are only 5.5 back, but they also just played the Marlins. So, like, I feel like you have to give a grain of salt with any time a team plays the Marlins for 4 games.
But coming into the season, you would have said that kind of the Marlins and the Padres are on the same level-ish. Maybe the Marlins are a little bit worse, but...
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I feel like the Padres have a couple more major leaguers, or do they? Or they just have Eric Hosmer?
Well, they do have Eric Hosmer. They have Tyson Ross, who is pitching well.
Yeah. So you said you didn't know where to start.
Okay, so sorry. Quick digression before you go into that thought.
Okay.
So the Yes, the Dodgers, sort of their low point was 10 games below 500, I guess, which was mid-May, okay. And now they're 2 games below 500. So they have been playing better lately. But I still think the key here is that the Diamondbacks, you know, at the end of May, they were 20-8. And they now they're 30-27. So they've been like 9 games below 500 in May.
Yeah, that's not great. For a month?
Yeah. It's like for a month? 28 not great. Games. Sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying, like, if we want to talk about the whole division, you said it's hard to, tough to know where to start. But then when we introduced it, we said, is it interesting or is it a shit show? And I think we should answer that question. I think that's where to start. Is the NL West a shit show or is it like 4 or 5 teams? Like, is it, you know what I mean?
I think it's a shit show.
Yeah, I
personally
think it's a shit show too.
Like, interesting is the NL East, right? Like, yeah. Surprise teams. Yeah. At this point, everybody's playing pretty well, or at least the three top teams. The Mets have been playing bad, but the three top teams are playing well. They're tightly bunched. Some cool surprises.
Yeah.
NL West, it's kind of like, well, everybody except for the Padres has to be disappointed by their year. Like, fans of each of these individual teams have to be disappointed by how their teams are playing.
Do you think the Giants are disappointed?
I think the Giants as an organization probably are disappointed. If like, your idea is, oh, we can fill in the gaps around our stars and make this a competitive team by trading for Evan Longoria and Andrew McCutcheon, and then, oh, everybody in our division's bad and we're still not best ones.
They're still under,
yeah, we're still in tied for third place. Like, that's not where you want to be.
Yeah,
also, this is a rash generalization, but I do feel like the Giants have a lot of casual fans who are probably kind of like, we traded for McCutcheon. He's an MVP. We traded for Longoria. He's an all-star. Like,
I guess,
how could we not be great?
Because if I were a Giants fan, I feel like you'd be a little excited, but you like my your expectations couldn't be like super high from that. Like, right? Like,
well, yeah, sure. I mean, if you're like a fan who knows kind of sabermetrics and aging curves and stuff like that.
Even like, I get what you're saying. If you're like a super casual fan, you're like, these are names I recognize. But like, even if you're like one step above that, you got to know that McCutcheon and Longoria are old.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not saying this in a judgmental way necessarily, but I think, especially with the like beginning of the season, like, this is, that's when optimism happens. Giants fans haven't known many tough times over the last decade.
That's
and
true.
Like, whenever they have had tough times, they've bounced back very well.
That's true.
And then so you can sort of write off last season as like, oh, Bumgarner was hurt. Like, guys had bad years. We didn't have a third baseman. It seemed like they did plug their holes,
With Bumgarner out, they might still be able to kind of rationalize that. Like, the flip side of that is like, yeah, you're disappointed that you're 3 or 4 or whatever games under 500 that they are. But also it's like, well, we're only 3 games back and we're getting our best pitcher back.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's true. Each of these teams can see a silver lining of like, well, we haven't really played that well, but like, look how close we are. Like, in the Diamondbacks, it's like, man, we just had our worst month like that you could possibly imagine. We're still in first place.
And if you're the Diamondbacks, you could probably easily convince yourself, and not unjustly, that your team is closer to the April team than the May team.
Yeah.
Like, it would be crazy if you thought that they would play like they did in April again, but I don't think you're crazy to think that they probably won't play like they did in May
again. Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the big thing that this division is going to come down to is health. Like, that's been the thing that's derailed the Dodgers for the most part. That's the thing that, for the most part, derailed the Diamondbacks in May. And the Giants, like we were just talking about with Bumgarner, and Cueto's been hurt.
Yeah.
I guess the Rockies maybe have been the healthiest team, but they seem like a flawed team, like in a way that they weren't last year somehow.
Yeah. But they're playing, I think the Rockies, what's getting lost in this is the Rockies are probably playing about how everyone expected.
Yeah, but like, that's not necessarily encouraging either. It's like, oh, we're playing like we expected, and this is how good our team is then.
Well, that is discouraging, yes, like from like April optimism. But I'm saying, like, you could easily, I mean, the Dodgers are definitely disappointing. There's no argument there. And the Diamondbacks almost certainly are. But the funny thing about the Rockies is like, this is, I mean, we're looking at probably what the Rockies are. It just so happens that the rest of their division is so bad that they, you know, are in have been in first place for a lot of May and then only are a half game out as we record this.
So who do you think? Do you think the Rockies then are the favorites to take the division? Like, who do you think is?
I have no idea. I almost kind of think it's the Dodgers again.
Really?
Like, because I mean, Turner's back. I know he's been back, but like not really long enough to have any.
Yeah, Seager's still out the year, for the year. Kershaw came back, pitched five innings, didn't break 90 miles per hour, and is now back on the disabled
list. But they've been
list.
Playing well without Kershaw and Seager. Like, they've been playing, like, their worst games were, I mean, probably still during that, but they, you know what I mean? And they still have players, like, Turner's there. They have Taylor has played. I mean, they have these players that can play well.
I just read right before we started recording that Dave Roberts got asked if they might option Cody Bellinger to the minors. Ooh. Because he's been playing so bad.
Yeah, he's been playing badly.
He did not rule it out.
Yeah, yikes. And Dodgers are also good. The Dodgers are the most likely candidate to make some sort of move.
Big splashy move. Get a Machado.
Yeah, maybe. So it feels like that is the, like,
yeah, it's tough because, like,
I don't feel,
you know, now you think about the Dodgers last year and it's like it's still hard to square, like, which team they were,
because they had that terrible losing streak.
Yeah, so they had that stretch where they went, like, you know, 50-6 or whatever over a couple months, and then they lost 17 of 18. Yeah. Or something like that. I was going to say
17 for 18, too. So
it's probably close.
No, it's probably exactly.
It's probably an exact number. And then they went to the World Series, you know, so it's like.
And they look good
and
in
they
the
did,
playoffs.
Yeah, they looked great. But, like, isn't it kind of hard to sort of figure out, like, well, I don't know what to think of these guys now.
I don't know what to think. And kind of the only reason I would pick the Dodgers is because I've seen them be good. And I've seen the Diamondbacks be good, but I'm more convinced, even though I know the Dodgers are injured and what made them good is missing, especially Seager.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no faith in the Giants at all. They could win it. Like, that's the thing. If you told me the Giants were going to win, I'm not going to call you an idiot. But I have no faith in the Giants. I have little faith that the Rockies, I feel like, could only win this division if it just continues, everyone continues to be mediocre.
Yeah.
Because I think the Rockies could be a 94 or 95 win team at best case scenario, and that could win this division.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think the Rockies are going to win 90 games. I think, honestly, for me, it's really tough. It's like, seems like it's going to be such a dogfight and, like, not a cool jet fighter dogfight, like a terrible, like, two dogs fighting in an alley dogfight, like, over a piece of scraps.
No, yeah, I think it is going to be.
Like, I guess I weirdly could see the Giants winning just because they're very experienced and, like, they don't have a ton of holes if everybody's healthy.
And they have a great manager.
And they do have a great manager. And, like, they kind of have the most incentive to make a splash at the trade deadline.
They could do that too.
Because
yeah.
They're sort of the oldest team out there. And it does seem like the holes that they have are, like, corner outfield, which is maybe easier to fill than, like, oh, the Dodgers need a second baseman, you know, and that kind of thing. So I don't know. And the Diamondbacks seem like the best team on paper at this point, assuming that Robbie Ray comes back relatively soon.
Walker's out for the season,
but Greinke and Corbin have still been pitching well.
Yeah.
Pollock's out for a little while longer, I think, but, like, Goldschmidt has to start playing better.
You know,
he has to start hitting better. There's no way he keeps playing like this.
Yeah. Here's a question. Do you think on September 1st there are still four teams within five games of each other?
Yes. I think so.
I kind of think so, too. I don't think the Padres are going to hang around, although it'd be really cool if on September 1st the last place team was 5.5 out.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Padres can do it. I mean, I kind of don't think there's going to be a separation this season.
Yeah.
Because no team, unless...
I'm going to pull up the postseason odds over at Baseball Prospectus real quick and see what the stats have to say about
it. It seems like if everybody can magically be healthy, it would be very safe to say, like, I feel like the Diamondbacks and Dodgers are going to pull away. But they're so injured. They're injured to such key players that I don't see them pulling away. I think the Rockies can win 90 games. I think it'll be the low, like 94 is their max. And then the Giants, I think you just made a good point about the Giants sticking around. So I don't see any of them falling off. I don't see any of these teams getting much worse, but I can't really see them getting much better.
Yeah.
Because the two good teams have injuries, and the Rockies and Giants, I feel like, are kind of maybe pushing at their ceiling. And the Giants can improve a little, but I don't think enough to start running away with anything.
I guess, like, the difference is, like, yeah, coming into the year, the Dodgers and Diamondbacks would have been the picks for the best teams in the division. The Dodgers' injuries seem worse. They seem more key.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Like, losing Seager is not, for the season, is not the same as losing Pollock for 2 months.
Not at all. And I think that Kershaw going on the DL and it's his back, like, I am not confident that he's going to be healthy the rest. Like, to me, I think you got to start planning on Kershaw not being healthy the rest of the season.
Right, exactly. Even back injuries are hard to shake. And he's had back injuries the last couple of years.
So I think you're kind of, to me, if I'm a Dodger fan or Dodger front office, I'm thinking we lost Kershaw for the season.
So here's
or at least until August.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to count on him as a linchpin in getting to the playoffs at the very least. Exactly. Like, if they're going to make the World Series again, they need Kershaw healthy. But
yeah.
So here's what I'm on Fangraphs and Baseball Prospectus, and they have dramatically different postseason projections. Fangraphs has the Dodgers with a 61% chance of making the playoffs, the Diamondbacks and Rockies both with 26% chances, and the Giants with 13% chance. Baseball Prospectus has a 57% chance of the Diamondbacks making the playoffs, a 44% chance of the Dodgers, and then around 15% for the Giants and Rockies both.
So they're both low on the Rockies, and then kind of Prospectus agreed with you and Fangraphs agreed with me.
Vice versa. Yeah. I mean, Fangraphs definitely is relying on the Dodgers sort of coming around, even if guys don't get healthy, I guess.
I mean, yeah. So I just feel like the most talented team is still the Dodgers.
Yeah.
The most proven talented team. It might play out that the Diamondbacks players are surpassing them, but I think right now, and then I think the Giants are on the way down with their talent across the board, except for Bumgarner. We don't know how he'll be. So
I guess the Dodgers...
I mean, Belt's having an amazing year, but he just got hurt, didn't he?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. So
I guess the Dodgers do have a better farm system than the Diamondbacks as well. So if they need reinforcements, like Alex Verdugo and Julio Urias probably is coming back from injury soonish, I think. So, yeah, I guess maybe it's the Dodgers... But maybe that's a boring answer. I'm sticking with the Diamondbacks.
I mean, I don't want it to be the Dodgers. I hope it's the Diamondbacks. I mean, the great thing about this is if they all these teams play poorly enough where they're not in the wild card race, like, it is always more fun when three or four teams are fighting for a division and only the division. There's not a lot of fun coming out of it where it's like, well, two or three of these teams could also still win the wild card.
Yeah.
Although then that wild card game becomes fun.
Like, and then you get the chance of, like, multiple playing games.
Well, that's fun too, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it does come down to just like, oh, a bunch of like 89 win teams with a week left, you know, and then the Brewers, Cubs, Cardinals, Phillies, Braves are all, Nationals are all fighting for the wild. Like, that's fun to have those teams beat up on each other to win 92 games and get to play the Nationals, whoever had the best record at the end of the season.
The Brewers? Question mark?
Could be the Brewers. I think right now it's the Nash.
No, it's the Brewers right now.
It is the Brewers?
Yeah.
Come on.
I think we should take a quick break before we get to the rest of the show, since we're about halfway. So we're going to do that. And we will be right back with more Duck Snort. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Duck Story. We decided to call a little audible.
Ooh,
in the
nice baseball reference.
Nice baseball term. In the break, and we're not going to talk about the All-Star ballot this episode, but we will do that another episode.
What would be the equivalent to call
of an
audible? Pitching change?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's probably the
pitching
closest
change.
Thing.
Pinch hit.
Oh, pinch hit. What is that? Yeah. Well, but we're not replacing it with it. That's the thing about that. I guess an audible, you place a play with a different play.
Double switch?
We're doing a little double switch here.
We're doing a little double switch.
So the thing we talked about earlier is not going to be...
Yeah. We're going to do the first half of the episode, second.
Okay. So, but what I have a surprise for you.
Yeah.
It's not really a surprise. It's just a thing I want to talk about that I didn't tell you about beforehand. Let's say you're doing a draft. This is all I want to talk about. If you were drafting a team comprised of the most fun players,
okay,
who are your picks? Who are your top picks?
Who's my number one pick for most fun player?
All you're considering is when the players are in the stands, I want them to be watching the players that are the most fun. Who's your number one pick?
This is current?
Current, yeah.
Current players?
Current right now, like 2018 most fun players.
That's a great... Great question.
Great surprise
I think
question.
Altuve probably.
Okay, that's your first.
Is number one.
Okay.
Would be my guess. Pretty electric guy.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
And obviously, you know, unique in his size and demeanor and that kind of thing. So he'd probably be my number one. But there's
okay.
A few other guys that come to mind. But who's your number one?
I think my number one would be Lindor.
Lindor. That was another guy who that. It would probably be between Altuve and Lindor for me. And then there's also, you know, changing things up. I think Joey Gallo is very fun in a very specific way.
In a very specific way, yeah.
Aaron Judge, if you just also want to see people crush ding-dongs.
What pick would you make Baez? How high up is he?
Baez.
Because I'm so biased that I feel like he would be my second pick. I love watching Javi Baez play.
Yeah, he's really fun. He'd be up there for sure, but I don't think he's quite as good as some of the other exciting middle infielders.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like
he's
exciting, but he's not as good a baseball player, which is like a part of what makes players exciting.
Yeah,
like I would say. To me, I know he's been having a pretty good year, but to me, he's more of the like Joey Gallo type, like,
right.
Oh, he's very fun and very good at some specific things, but has some pretty big holes in his game.
He took his, Baez this last week, took his first unintentional walk since like April 5th.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's frustrating to me to watch that kind of thing.
He is
the White
a lot
Sox
more
have
contact.
A ton of guys
he's
like
striking
that.
Out less. So it's a little more tolerable. If you're not striking out 30% of the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Those are all good picks. Who else? Between Judge and Stanton would be good, because I feel like Stanton isn't playing as well, but he's still so fun.
Yeah. I think Judge is more fun just for in terms of he's bigger. He just looks different than any other baseball
That's
player.
True. Andelton Simmons?
Simmons, for sure. I mean, Trout. He's definitely out there.
He's just so good, but he's not. It's like Tim Duncan. He's not necessarily super fun.
I guess,
to watch.
Yeah. What about pitchers? Who would your pitchers be?
I think Scherzer.
Scherzer's interesting.
I know he's really good, but he's also really. I mean, I have a hard time just like tuning. Like to me, Kluber isn't super fun to watch.
No.
He's really Verlander's fun to watch.
I mean, Verlander for sure. I think. Like Josh Hader, maybe.
Oh yeah,
or,
he's so fun.
Jordan Hicks. Is that's his name, right? The guy who throws 105 for the...
Oh, for the Cardinals?
What am I saying? Shohei Ohtani.
My God.
Yeah. Ohtani's
like
got to be...
We forgot Ohtani was even in the league. Of course.
He's
the number one pick.
Yeah, he's got to be the number one pick.
Okay, well, yeah. Pretend that this weird freak of nature that can do everything is in the league.
Yeah,
I think Scherzer would be my starter. He's the most fun pitcher for me to watch.
Yeah, he's really, really fun for sure. I mean, like, Cologne is very fun in a different way.
Yeah, he would be definitely your, like, fifth starter.
Yeah.
Like, you got to have Cologne in there.
Yeah.
Because he's just, like, he's a fun personality to have.
Yeah.
I think Joey Votto because he's so weird and funny.
Yeah.
Did you see that thing about how David Letterman and Jerry Seinfeld, you know, David Letterman has that show where someone just hit a ding dong for the White Sox.
Daniel Palka, who I just wrote a post for SoxMachine.com this morning, where I was part of it was trying to come up with a nickname for Daniel Palka because he's like this like just super wide dude. Like he's got Jim Tomey arms where it's like you don't look like you're like cut, but you look like you're just made of muscle all the way through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my favorite nickname that I came up for him was Biggie Smalka. That somebody else came up with Beer Barrel Palka, which I think is really good.
That, but I feel like he has to play for the Brewers to have that nickname. I'm going with Biggie Palka. That's my vote. Anyway, David Letterman has that show where he brings guests on, not his old show, but that new one.
Yeah.
And he had Jerry Seinfeld on, and David Letterman told a story about how Joey Votto was like, this is my last at bat. Thanks for coming. He was in the on deck circle talking to Letterman and was like, hey, Dave, this is my last at bat. Hope you enjoyed the game. Like Joey Votto just, and Dave Letterman was in the stands, and Joey Votto from the on deck circle was talking like in late in the game, being like, I'm probably not going to get up again. Thanks for coming. And then Jerry Seinfeld, like, he did that to me too. He was like, hey, Jerry, thanks for coming. And so they both had Joey Votto talk to them while Joey Votto was on the on deck circle.
That's wild. And then that's fun.
And then a reporter asked Joey Votto about it, and Joey Votto was like, they don't know what they're talking about. I thought Dave Letterman was my limo driver, and I was just telling him to warm the car up. And I was talking to my other friend, Jerry, who was sitting in front of Jerry Seinfeld because I wanted to talk to him after the game. That was Joey Votto's response
to
the story.
That's pretty amazing.
I love Joey Votto. I think he is... he's like a weird, intense dude, but I think he's one of the funniest guys in baseball.
Oh, yeah. No
so he
question.
Would be on my team just to see, just for all the peripheral stuff. Plus, he's fun to watch.
I have to point out that the White Sox just went back to back.
Oh.
And Adam Engel's home run bounced off Lorenzo Cain's glove.
Speaking of fun players, though.
Speaking of fun players, Adam Engel is not one of them.
No. Cain would be up there. Kevin Pillar.
Yeah, sure. Probably. Burners Kiermaier. With gloves. I mean, yeah. Billy Hamilton in a way.
Yeah, but he just can't get on bait.
Yeah,
he's a good defender.
He's been underwhelming compared to what people hoped he would be.
I think the expectation looms. That sucks some of the fun away is the expectation of him. Anyway, that was my thing, just thinking about who's the most fun to
watch. I like that. Mookie Betts is up there probably.
Yeah.
Probably like one of the best names in baseball.
Mookie Betts?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Mookie's a great sports name.
Oh, yeah.
If your name Mookie.
A rich tradition.
A rich tradition of Mookies. Also the original name of Mookie Blaylock, the original name of Pearl Jam.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, their original name was Mookie Blaylock, and they changed it for obvious reasons.
Yeah, was he playing for the Sonics at the time? Is that why
I can't remember who he was playing for the time. But his number was 10, and that's why their album was named 10.
Oh, no way.
A little Pearl Jam.
Fun fact.
A little Pearl Jam trivia.
Anyway, exclusively Major League Baseball talk.
Okay, so yeah, talk.
That's a great question. I mean, the tough thing is, like, I think either of us could go, like, 30 players deep, you know, of like, oh, this guy's really fun. Like, oh, I love it. Like, Yolmer Sanchez on the White Sox is like an extremely fun player that like nobody knows about. You know what I mean? It's like we each probably have our like specific favorites and our like
exactly.
Guys that just for whatever reason we think are cool and like watching. So
well, that's why like I wanted to know about Baez. Like, if am I being too much of a homer?
A little bit. I do think that Cubs fans are a little bit Baez obsessed in a way that like the rest of the league just is not, because he doesn't play for them.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like every team has that.
There's also people who are turned off by Baez for like legitimate reasons, which is like, you know, they think he's an overrated player that gets talked about too much because he's on the Cubs. And then like also sort of less legitimate reasons of like, oh, he's like too flashy or whatever.
Oh, sure. But you're right, because he's not as good as Lindor or Altuve or Correa or Machado.
Right.
It's easy to say, like, why is he getting so hyped?
Yeah. Evan Gattis would maybe be on the
fun
player
team. I was just thinking that,
too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think that, like, my old veteran captain would be Andrew McCutchen. Because he's not as fun, but he used to be so fun to watch.
Yeah.
So he would definitely be, like, my... Maybe, like, the bench coach or something.
Chase Utley.
I hate Chase Utley. I get what you're saying. I just hate him, so I can't have him on my team. There's no way. Ozzy Albies, maybe?
Yeah,
he's
sure.
been pretty fun so far.
Yeah. Well, let's... that's a good thing. I think just in the future, we should just... Anytime there's a fun player where we're just like, they were really fun this week, we should just like bring them up and
that's a good,
highlight them, you know?
That's a good point.
But right now, why don't we move on to our favorite and least favorite New York Yankees
New York
of all time.
Yankees.
I feel like this is one where there's a lot of candidates for each, depending mm-hmm. on what your perspective is. Obviously, the Yankees have had many of the all-time greatest players mm-hmm. in baseball. Obviously, also, they're very easily... Some of those same players, even, are very easy to hate, mm-hmm. Sort of out of a sense of, like, either, like we're talking about with Baez, like, oh, they're overrated because they're on the Yankees, or because, like, man, why do the Yankees always get these good, like, good dudes? I'm tired mm-hmm. of watching them win, mm-hmm. etc. So, yeah, I feel like this will be an interesting one. I'm mm-hmm. interested to hear sort of what your thoughts are. Without foreshadowing too much, I think you will have strong opinions on my favorite player
okay.
and be
oh.
Very surprised by my least favorite player. Yeah. So how should we get into it? What do you want to...
Let's start with the negative.
Okay,
least favorite of all time.
My least favorite Yankee of all time is Nick Swisher.
Okay. Why is it Nick Swisher?
Because Nick Swisher, the White Sox traded for Nick Swisher prior to the 2008 season, and they traded several very good prospects, one of whom turned out to be Gio Gonzalez, who is the second... It was the second time they traded away Gio Gonzalez, who is, of course, now like one of the best players and best pitchers in the league. Second time they traded him away from the White Sox. And they got Nick Swisher back, which I was very excited about because Nick Swisher was good for the Athletics.
Yeah.
And he proceeded to be below replacement level for the year, was very bad, and also like a very kind of off-putting presence for White Sox fans. Like, he didn't fit in with the clubhouse or the team aesthetic at all. He's like super bro-y, super like...
Swisher super bro-y?
Yeah. He's very like frat guy-ish. And he had like, even aesthetically, like he had sort of long hair like down to like... right above his shoulders, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That is like
the longest hair you can have as a Yankee. Oh wait, he was a White Sox at this point.
Yeah, he was a White Sox, but it was like, it's just not a good look ever, I don't think. It's like a very like, speaking of grunge, it's like a 90s grunge look, sort of. Yeah. Like, I feel like Eddie Vedder had really long hair, but for a period, maybe.
Yeah.
It's like Kurt Cobain hair, almost.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really look good if you're not in Nirvana, I don't think. and so he had this terrible year. The team was so put off by him, they did not say, like, oh, he could rebound this year. They instead traded him to the Yankees for fucking nothing. They traded their best two prospects for him 1 year, turned around, traded him for literally nothing, like, you know, three nobody prospects and a utility infielder. And then he had four great seasons for the Yankees after that, that I believe coincided with new Yankee Stadium. So he's like crushing the ball to the short porch.
Yeah.
But he made the all-star team for them. And then he left the Yankees, signed this big deal with the Indians, and sucked again.
Yeah.
Immediately.
So that's why you hate.
So I'm like,
you know, you just hate Nick Swisher because you felt like it was a mirage or something.
I don't even think it was a mirage. I'm just like upset that like, oh, so the White Sox sort of made this guy the center of their offseason.
Right.
And it seemed like a good idea. He sucked so bad.
It was like a clubhouse.
Was kind of a clubhouse
idiot.
Cancer.
Yeah.
And then played well again, only for the Yankees for the rest of his career.
That's frustrating.
And
that's like elite. That is a bad Yankee. That's like a hateable Yankee.
It's the kind of thing where like, I don't think the Yankees should get like free good guys. Like, they already have enough good guys. Like, it's kind of the same thing with like Aaron Hicks or Didi Gregorius, where I'm like, no, they shouldn't be good for you. Like, you should have to pay for all your good guys, or at least at the very least develop them from your minor league system. Like, you shouldn't be the team that makes savvy pickups to suddenly have
because it's frustrating that the Dodgers are doing it. So it's especially like, you know, like
it's the same exact thing.
The Dodgers had Justin Turner.
Yeah, we've talked about Justin Turner and Chris Taylor. Like, they don't deserve that.
Yeah, you don't want the Yankee. You're right. That's a really good point.
Yeah,
that's great.
So that's my least favorite Yankee. Although there was tons of guys that I could have picked from. I mean, Paul O'Neill, I'm not a fan of at all. There's like tons of like, yeah. I mean, Jeter, similar feelings.
Jeter is my least favorite. I wanted to pick Mariano Rivera, the most overrated closer of relief pitcher of all time, Derek Jeter is so overrated. You cannot convince me that Jeter would be even maybe a first ballot Hall of Famer if he played his whole career for like the Reds.
I mean, I guess the counter argument to that is 3,000 hits. Like anybody who gets 3,000 hits is going to be
a first ballot
in the Hall of Fame.
But like, I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not trying to say that Derek Jeter is like,
right,
you know, like not a Hall of Famer, but he is so overrated. His defense, Yankees fans would just defend his defense just right. because he made two really, really great plays
right.
in the postseason. Like, and he did, it was a little bit of a sheep and wolf's clothing because I feel like he did play super well in the playoffs. I don't even know if the numbers bear that out, but I do feel like he stepped it up for the playoffs. But that doesn't mean he was great. I don't think he was that good. I think he had like five really great years. And then
I think he was
he's a
consistently very good hitter with several legitimately great hitting seasons mixed in. I think, you know, the numbers are pretty clear that he was not a great defensive shortstop, right. especially for the second half of his career. And I think the sort of thing that rubs me the wrong way about Jeter is just the whole like captain mystique.
Yeah.
And like the, you know, the like he's the heart and soul of the Yankees. I'm like, the Yankees don't have any heart and soul. They're the Yankees.
I really don't feel like there has been a player that's benefited from being on the Yankees like more than Derek Jeter. Like
that,
I think
that's
a lot of players
true.
Have been propped up about
right,
like
yeah.
people think they're better.
I mean, like sort of what you're saying is like Derek Jeter is not necessarily much better, if at all better, than Barry Larkin.
Yeah, that's what I'm. Yes, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
like obviously, people don't talk about Barry Larkin. They're both Hall of Famers. People don't talk about yeah. Barry Larkin in the same breath as Jeter.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And he's like propped up as this all-time great. And it's fine if like we just talked about, you have your own players on your team that you're going to like mm-hmm. raise. So like Yankees fans could love Jeter, and I'm not like if your favorite player of all time is Jeter and you grow up watching him, I'm not going to take that away from you. But I do think he's overrated, and as a non-Yankees fan, I think it was very annoying to hear about Jeter. Like his whole farewell tour season drove me crazy.
Way too much.
And I think about like how much better David Ortiz's final season was.
Yeah.
Like it was not, I mean, actually numbers wise, but like better to deal with.
Yeah.
Even though it was kind of celebrated the same way, it just, Jeter, he's not like funny. Like, you know what? Like he was on SNL, but he's not that fun. Like
He doesn't have a great
personality.
He's like a jock, you know? That's the thing that like always got me about the like heart and soul thing or the leader thing. It's like, no, he just seems like a jock to
me.
He's
not endearing in
like,
any way.
Yeah. He seems like very straightforward, like not particularly savvy or interesting. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's a good looking guy and he's good at baseball. And that seems like about it. I guess he must have some media savvy to have like sort of navigated the tabloid industry of New York
in the way that he did.
But
yeah, he had a great personality for being a Yankee.
But yeah, he doesn't seem like a particularly compelling or charismatic person to me. That being said, it's interesting to me that all that sort of like him being overrated kind of a thing is enough to make him your least favorite Yankee, you know, that you don't have like a stronger negative affiliation to like, oh, this guy killed my team, you know, this guy killed the Royals, or like,
I mean,
Alfonso Soriano was your least favorite Cub of all time.
I loved him when he was on the Yankees.
Yeah, so that doesn't translate to the Yankees, right?
I loved him when he was on the Yankees, and I'm not going to blame, and like Cano, I loved when he was on the Yankees, and like, it was annoying that like Giambi went to the Yankees, but I didn't like hate him. Like
I did. I nearly picked Jason Giambi for my least favorite.
Really?
Yankee. Yeah.
Like it always kind of made me like those guys less.
Right.
But it's not like I thought about Paul O'Neill, and I could pick like I feel like there are a lot of like 70s like Thurman Munson, these guys that killed the Royals in like the 70s or 80s, but I don't have like a personal attachment to that. They're all just like, it's hard to hate a player from the past unless they did something like truly terrible.
Right.
So I just never liked Jeter. I think it was just like I probably suffer from Jeter fatigue or suffered.
Yeah, no, I considered Jeter. I'm not saying I didn't. So here are some other guys that were sort of in the internal discussion in my brain. Paul O'Neill.
Yeah.
Bernie Williams, I think, is actually somebody who I don't
but
dislike
his music
him.
Is too good.
His music's actually garbage.
Yeah,
and
it's so bad.
Turns me off. I think he's a guy who benefited more than Jeter from like the Yankees mystique.
But I agree with you. But no one like I think what bothered me about Jeter is that he was being propped up in like an all time great discussion.
Yeah,
he's not like here. Sorry, I didn't cut you off. He's not as people I think put him in the Mantle, DiMaggio, Ruth, Gehrig, Berra category. Jeter, and he's not there. He's like in the Mattingly category.
No, he's not. He's better than Mattingly. And I think they put him there in the sense of Yankees all-time greats, not in the sense of they're the same quality of player.
Yeah, I think they're reaching. I don't think he's an all-time great. I think when you have those guys as your all-time great, like it's not fair.
No, I actually, it upsets me that you're making me defend Derek Jeter because I think he's like, a better player than Berra, probably. You know, he's not Gehrig or Ruth, but
Berra
I think
was
he's
so. You should look into Berra. Berra was so good.
I'll look into it, but I'm not necessarily.
Here's the thing
convinced.
About Jeter. Do you think it was a smart move to move A-Rod off of shortstop and put him at third?
No, but
that's the thing is that he made the A-Rod at shortstop is like one of the most valuable players of all time.
Yeah,
and then because Jeter. Who's barely good at shortstop?
Yeah,
can't move to second base like he should have. Like,
yeah, I mean they should have moved him to second base, but
it's like that dumb shit. It's like you
whatever.
Like, but I know it's like whatever, but it's like you're making like
your team worse.
The best hitting shortstop of all time, maybe.
Yeah,
move to third base because you're Derek. Basically, because you're Derek.
Yeah,
you're the
but
captain.
Like the. But I guess my feeling on that too is like Rodriguez would have declined at shortstop probably in the same way that Jeter did. Like maybe
but his hitting would have propped up his, like you have a shortstop hitting that well.
Yeah,
is, you know what I mean? Like
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like you have a premium position player hitting that well, and then if you can find a good third baseman, now I think it makes your team better.
You're right.
I know I made you defend Jeter, but
it's okay.
That's
so.
Sorry, where were we? Oh, I got so worked up.
you're worked up about Jeter. Yeah,
he did have the stones to wear number two, which I think is pretty ballsy because I'm pretty sure that was the only single digit
Yankees number,
unretired number.
Yeah,
yeah. So that I do give him respect for that.
I kind of actually now that I'm thinking about it, I wore number two in Little League, and Jeter was one of the like only guys in the league who wore number two. So I was kind of like, I like this
Jeter.
Guy a little better.
Okay.
So, who's your favorite Yankee ever?
Because I always divide it to Lou Gehrig is one of my favorite players of all time. He's probably like my second favorite player of all time.
Behind Nolan Ryan?
No, you'll find out when we get to the team.
Okay.
Who my favorite player of all time is.
Wow. I think I know who it is.
But you can spoil it if you want.
It's Stan Musial?
Yeah, Stan Musial is my favorite. But Lou Gehrig is like my second favorite. So okay. I love Lou Gehrig. He's my favorite Yankee of all time. But then that I saw a play. I was thinking about this a lot. So I thought about Soriano. You know who should have been my least favorite is maybe Roger Clemens now that I'm thinking about it.
He was the other one in my discussion. Yeah. But we could save. There's plenty of time to talk about Roger Clemens,
we have more
I
teams.
Think. Yeah.
I was thinking about Soriano. I think it might be A-Rod.
A-Rod!
I've said before that I am an A-Rod fan and a defender. I'm a Stan.
You're an A-Rod
Stan.
Wow.
And I was thinking about it and that I've actually seen play. It's between Soriano and A-Rod, and I don't think there's
That's
anybody.
That's crazy to
maybe
me.
Maybe Cano would be in the discussion.
Well, I guess the crazy thing about that, in my mind, is A... those weren't his best years for the Yankees. The years that we saw, and he was very good for many
like
of those years. Right. But I feel like you define players by like sort of their personality or characteristics in a like you more than me. I think in a lot of cases, like combine players' personality characteristics and performances into like reasons why you like them or don't like them. Would you agree with that?
I do. And I think that if this discussion was who I think the best Yankee is, I would not have picked. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, yeah,
like,
for sure.
So I do
but
make
I
that
guess
distinction.
I'm saying like, I'm surprised you're not put off enough by A-Rod's personal controversies and just his overall like spiel while he was with the Yankees.
I went through a period of really hating him, especially like I think we talked about when we played baseball the other day. Maybe you weren't there when A-Rod did that thing where he did the fake
I got it
when he was running to third.
Right, yeah.
Like at that time, that was a real low for my relationship with A-Rod. And I hated him.
But you guys worked through it.
But then
you went to counseling.
But I was like, it's almost like the opposite of Jeter. He was getting so much hate.
Yeah.
Like unwarranted hate.
That's
like,
true. That's the only thing that makes him sympathetic, I think, to me.
And then he's not good for New York. He's like the opposite Jeter. He should have stayed in Dallas or Seattle where he didn't have to deal with media like he did in New York. Like, or gone to like Chicago, who would have probably just, I don't know what his options were, but I'm just picking places that he could have.
I think actually at one point there was a rumor that he was on the verge of being traded to the White Sox. Like late in his career.
Like, I think he would have not come off. And he is like I get how his personality reads as asshole, but I think I did a 180 on A-Rod, and I think. If I'm really thinking about, because I don't like watching any Yankees, he's really the only Yankee. It's Soriano, Cano, and A-Rod are the only three Yankees I can think of where I truly enjoyed watching.
Wow, that's interesting.
Than like one season.
I would put both Cano and Soriano above A-Rod. Yeah. But
who's your favorite Yankee?
My favorite Yankee ever is Mariano Rivera.
Yeah. Okay.
if you want to hear Waylon's unfiltered thoughts on Mariano Rivera, you should go back to episode one.
Yeah, it was our first episode.
But you know,
it our first episode? It was.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had an episode zero where we did sort of a practice episode,
right.
And then we did episode
that's
one at the beginning of last season. But he's the greatest reliever of all time. It's amazing to me that he created an inarguable Hall of Fame career.
Yes.
One of only potentially, perhaps the only reliever of all time with an inarguable Hall of Fame case. Like, beyond, like, Eckersley, who is a part-time starter.
So the only reliever who is only a reliever.
Yeah. And not only did that, but did that with one pitch.
That is truly phenomenal.
It's insane, and it's like kind of a beautiful distillation to me of like something that makes baseball a more interesting sport than other sports, because like the greatest three-point shooter of all time in the NBA, like only three-point shooter, is like probably Steve Kerr or like maybe Kyle Korver. I mean, it's probably Steph Curry now, but like
Reggie Miller.
Somebody who was good at three-pointers and only three-pointers would not make the NBA Hall of Fame.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or like somebody who was good at returning kicks and only returning kicks in the NFL would not make the Hall of Fame.
But I think the NFL, returning kicks is a good one, because I think if you were as good as Mariano Rivera was, you could. I think Mariano Rivera is like weirdly the best reliever and the most overrated reliever at the same time. Also, I think when Rivera was like pitching, I don't think I really realized that he only had one pitch.
Yeah.
Because I think when I was like 13, I wasn't paying attention to
right.
They obviously probably mentioned it in broadcast. Like, he only uses the cutter, but I don't think I really like was able to absorb what that meant.
Sure.
I think it was
yeah.
much later. I think so. I spent a lot of time hating Rivera before I really realized he was doing it with one pitch.
And I mean, I think the like saves part of it is like overrated, like the number
definitely.
Of saves. But like, I think having that dominant guy out of the bullpen, like that was as impactful as anything to the Yankees' run of success while he was there. And like,
I agree.
It's in retrospect, it's kind of sad that he's like not pitching in today's game where we could have seen him like see what he could do in that Andrew Miller or Josh Hader role of like, what is three innings from Mariano Rivera?
Would they have even done that though?
Maybe. Who knows?
Could he go three innings on one pitch?
I don't know. That's the question.
Yeah.
But like, it makes you like wonder and like kind of fantasize like, it's like how much of that could he do?
And he played for a million years.
Yeah.
And never really got worse.
Yeah. Yeah. He was as good when he was like 43 or whatever as he was when he was 25. I also like his story of like he flamed out as a starting prospect, you know, and he came back and became this all time great guy. And I think the reason kind of that he's my favorite Yankee, I think, is that he's not really comparable to players on other teams. Like, there's nobody who I can say like, oh, he, you know, he, this other guy on there, Barry Larkin on the Reds is as good as Derek Jeter, right? There's no equivalent for Mariano Rivera, I don't think. Like, you can't say like, oh, Trevor Hoffman and Mariano Rivera were just as good, but Rivera was more hyped because he was on the Yankees.
Oh, no.
Like,
no.
You know, Hoffman's probably the closest, and he's not nearly as good as Rivera. So it's easier for me to like Rivera because there's nothing to resent him for.
I think he's, just to clarify, I think his postseason success is overrated. I think people forget how many
times. That almost makes me like him because it's not even like I can get, like, he wasn't too perfect to like, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, listen, the fact that he lost to the Diamondbacks is like kind of makes me like him more. Like, he wasn't immortal. He was just an incredible player.
Okay, so like, you had to defend Jeter, and now you're making me talk about how I like Rivera. Because I think you make a lot of good points, and I think that I shouldn't hate Rivera as much as I do.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Go watch some YouTube videos of him making people look silly with one pitch.
He
it's
really
nuts.
Did, yeah. And it's not like it's not like Aroldis Chapman where he just has like an amazing fastball.
Yeah.
It's just,
and you saw so many guys come and go where it was like, oh, the Mariano Rivera and this guy are the best closers in baseball. And those guys retired, and 10 years later, Mariano Rivera was still the best closer in baseball.
And I think, yeah. And I think he's the only pitcher who was solely a reliever who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so. I mean, I guess like Goose Gossage, maybe.
Raleigh Fingers numbers, but I don't also know if they were starters. Eckersley, I think, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I think he was such a dominant. He was a pretty decent starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And was such a dominant closer for like 5 years that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But, every other reliever.
I mean, I don't have a problem with Hoffman, but like, he's not necessarily close to Rivera.
He's a numbers.
He's like a
gatherer.
Longevity, not a dominance kind of a thing.
And it was great that he was coming out of that bullpen to hell's bells every day for however many years the Padres.
And he also has a awesome story of like, he was drafted as a shortstop, you know, and he became this Hall of Fame pitcher.
I will say Rivera coming out to enter Sandman is one of the all-time most
things. He's like, when you think about, like, he's on the baseball all-time team of like,
well, he's your closer.
Yeah. You have 9 guys, a starter and a reliever, and he's the reliever, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Still not my favorite Yankee, and I still don't have to.
That's
like
fine.
Him,
he doesn't have to be your favorite. He's mine.
Yeah.
He's getting recognized. His feelings will be hurt because he listens to this podcast.
He definitely does.
Like most all-time greats do, but it'll be okay.
Yeah, I think most Hall of Famers.
Most Hall of Famers.
I feel like Lou Brock does it for some weird reason. But
yeah, well, that's because he and I have a separate beef.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't accept his MySpace friend request 15 years ago.
Speaking of 3,000 hits, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
I regret it. Okay, I was in the wrong, but now we're both too proud.
I can't wait to get Lou Brock on here so you can settle your beef with Lou Brock.
All right.
Cool. Good picks.
Good picks.
And that was great to point out we have different approaches on how we do this.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm very much enjoying this series, and can't wait to do the rest of them. Although I'm sure it's going to be very weird and not interesting when we get down to like our favorite Marlins of all time and stuff.
I mean, that though, that's like, that could be interesting because
It's like, it could be anybody. It doesn't even have to be a good player. We just have to have like one fond memory of them.
But like also like Miguel Cabrera played for the Marlins.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's true.
Gary Sheffield was good for the Marlins.
Yeah.
And Mike Piazza for 5 days.
Yeah. Pudge Rodriguez for 3 months.
Yeah, if you have fond memory. He won the World Series with them. Wasn't Pudge on that? Mm-hmm. Didn't he was like the second
he
half.
Was, yeah.
Edgar Renteria was great. So
this is true.
The Marlins.
All right.
Marlins,
you're right. It's
going to
be
so
interesting. It was a great series, and thank you for praising it because it was my idea.
It was a great series. Only 26 more parts
26
to go.
More parts to go. Well, with that, let's wrap things up, huh?
Yep.
Thank you to Boardwalk Audio and Off the Bench Baseball. Once again, visit BoardwalkAudio.com and OffTheBenchBaseball.com for more hot content from those wonderful folks. Thank you to producing Joe Weber, our producer, which is good because that's his nickname that he's always had. Thank you to Moonbounce for our transition music. Thank you to you all for listening. Be sure to subscribe in whatever your podcasting app of choice is. Please leave reviews. Follow us on Twitter at DuckSnorePod. Email us at DuckSnorePod@gmail.com. I think that's it. We'll be back next week with more great baseball talk. Anything else, Waylon? You're on your phone. You don't care.
I'm texting. I'm texting about baseball.
You said I'm texting as if like I didn't know that's what you were doing. Man, but like it's like if only you understood what was happening right here. I'm texting
friend of the podcast Evan Riney about the Atlanta Braves and if they're the real deal.
That's fair. We'll have a game to talk about next week that we attend. Right? Ooh, we're going to see Royals Angels.
We're going
to
see fourth place Kansas City Royals play
against
the second
third place.
Yeah, third place Los Angeles.
What a matchup. But yeah, we'll be back next week. So keep on listening. Thanks so much.
I don't feel better, babe. When we take a break, let's get on.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.